What's up, guys? This week, it is going to be David Amata, the product lead, and Mike Stone, the producer from Tripwire Interactive. These guys work on Killing Floor 2, one of my favorite wave survival co-op games. I know many of you have played this game as well. I've played it with you, so this is going to be a great interview. Although I got to warn you, I had a little technical problem on my end, and one of the audio tracks got messed up. I'm really bummed about it. I tried to do what I could to make it sound as best as possible, but you're going to notice that the audio quality for someone is not going to be that great, and I sincerely apologize for that. Definitely do better next time, but hopefully you still enjoy it. So first of all, thank you so much for doing this, man. We've been reaching out to a lot of people trying to get some interviews. And then when you guys agreed to this, I'm like, oh my God, we got Tripwire. That's awesome. I am a big fan, of Killing Floor 2 and even back to like Red Orchestra, Rising Storm. So this is really exciting for me.
Yeah, glad to hear it.
Apologies if this came off. If I didn't know if it is the case, are you part of B&B Gaming?
D&D Gaming? No.
No, B&B.
Oh, B&B? No. This is, DL Gaming, DLG is the name of our podcast. It's kind of a small thing, but we have fun doing it. I should introduce you guys, too. Mike Stone, producer, and David Amata, product lead at Tripwire Interactive, and you guys work on Killing Floor 2.
Correct.
Yep.
You know, I love that game, but that is also a very popular game in our community as well. And before we talk about the game, though, I just want to talk about you guys a little bit. So you have some extensive bios on your website, which was really helpful to kind of do some research on. And I noticed you guys have pretty different backgrounds when it comes to your history in the gaming industry. So, David, let's start with you.
Sure.
Right out of school, you got into, you always wanted to do game design, and you graduated with a degree in it from college, from RIT. Now, I must be a lot older than you, because when I graduated, that like it wasn't really an option, or if it was, it was very risky. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that. Like, is that really like a viable job for people that are interested? Like, is there higher education options for people out there that are interested in that?
Yeah, there's definitely that option. It comes down to how much effort you're going to be able to put into it, and then really getting lucky with the opportunities that are available at the time. So like anything, the more effort you put into it, from studying, doing your own independent projects, really learning the industry from the ground up and making your own stuff, that's going to put yourself in a better position going forward when you try to get into the industry.
Mm-hmm. What was the college experience like with that? So I did computer science, and that was about as close as you could get to like any sort of game design or game theory degree. But what kind of classes do they even offer for that?
So it was definitely a balance of a lot of different disciplines. A good majority of it within at least RIT's program was very programming focused. So I had a lot of classes from Java to C# to C++, working with different engines like Unity and some of XNA's development within Xbox Live program. And then from there, we had more introductory classes to both like animation and art and modeling. And then once we got to a certain point within our degree, we could then splinter off and then start focusing a little bit more on the different disciplines we wanted to. Within that, I really dug in more with animation and game design. So I ended up taking a lot more level design courses and a lot of different narrative classes and a lot of integration within that kind of pipeline.
Okay. So a lot of coding.
Yep. So, lots of late nights in the lab, just kind of banging your head against a monitor, trying to figure something out.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mike, so you had kind of a different experience here. So you've almost got 20 years in the industry here, and you started with MMOs, designing levels and quests. And now you're in a producing role in a first person shooter. So that's a pretty big switch.
It is indeed. The entry and the path to where I am today is interesting and, I suppose, long one.
Yeah. So you probably didn't go to college for video game design. How did you kind of first get into that?
No, actually. So when it came to how to get into the industry, I was beta testing Dark Age of Camelot, an MMO from back in the day. And I was also at the time working at a local computer repair shop, you know, building PCs, custom PC repairing, and so on and so forth. And while beta testing one day, Dark Age, I noticed there was a technical lead position opening at Mythic Entertainment. And, it really didn't dawn on me that, wow, I can have a job in the industry that I've loved since, you know, the old Atari and ColecoVision days, and applied, and kind of the rest is history. That was really my entry into the industry itself.
Yeah, and you guys have both been with Tripwire for, what is it, 3 years now? About 3 years?
Yeah, for me, this past October was 3 years.
Yep, so I started back in June of 2016, so coming up this year will be close to my fourth year.
Okay, so you weren't part of Tripwire when Killing Floor 2 launched. It's been about a year or so in early access, I believe. And then
yeah, it was around the time of the Sharpshooter update was when I came on board with the project.
Okay, yeah. You know, I started playing this game right when it came out. I was so excited about it. A big Killing Floor 1 fan, so of course second one comes out. I dive right into it, and you know, Killing Floor 1 just had so many perks, so many weapons, all this stuff. And then when Killing Floor 2 came out, it was a pretty scaled down version of that, but it was definitely there. The gameplay was there, and it has grown so much over time. It's pretty exciting what that game has become.
Yeah, we've been really regular with our content updates, trying to expand both the maps, the weapons, feature sets. So it's been exciting to see where it's come from when I started to where it is now.
Yeah, and I feel like the community has grown as well. It just seems like so many people are playing that game.
Yeah, it's pretty unusual from a product life cycle stand. Usually you see like the most users you ever have are in the first month of a launch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas KF2, it's been this kind of slow, steady progression, and we get these huge increases whenever we do a free weekend or a PlayStation Plus promotion. So it's exciting to see that people are really kind of latching onto it and building it over time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys have some great events here. One I wanted to bring up specifically, so the Seasons Beatings 2018. How did Gary Busey get involved in that? Because that just came out of nowhere, and then it just made so much sense. I mean, it's like the perfect fit for that game.
Yeah, that was definitely an adventure, to say the least. But a lot of that can be kind of attributed to our audio director, who works with a pretty talented casting agency, finding who's available, who's interested. I won't get into like who could have been up for that role, but I think knowing where it is now, it couldn't have been anyone else but Busey.
Yeah, there's some great videos on YouTube as well if people want to check those out of him, you know, recording some lines. But yeah, that was great. And, you know, this year you had the Yuletide Horror, and you always have really good Halloween events as well. And it's a great opportunity for me to revisit the game. This has been a game that I've been playing consistently since it came out, so like 5 years now. And it just, and I love those events because that's always an opportunity for me to dip back into it. Now, I wanted to ask, so the progression, there was some talk when it was in early access that the, you know, the progression could possibly get reset. Thankfully, it didn't. So my favorite class, Field Medic, played him so much. You know, he's level 25 now. Have you guys ever thought about doing any progression after 25, after that cap, like maybe resetting it?
We do have the prestige system that we introduced, I want to say, back in June of last year. So that gives you at least 5 levels of reset. That's definitely been giving you more opportunity if you really want to crank through those levels again. And then you get the reward weapon skins that are tied to those individual levels.
Okay. All right. So that's my fault because I hit 25 and I was like, well, time to start working on somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong in itself with that either.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everyone could use a good field medic, and supports are always useful, and all different perks, having as much flexibility to play what the team needs at the time is very important.
And, you know, I played so much of this game when it first came out, but there were only 4 perks back then. You know, I always kind of gravitated towards medic in everything that I play, that support role. And I noticed in your bio, so Mike, you prefer the firebug. That's your class, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, whether it's Killing Floor or, you know, Battlefield or Call of Duty game, anything that has, like, a flamethrower, I to gravitate towards. Don't know why, but I just love kind of the spray and pray aspect of that.
Yeah, a lot of like AOE damage, and and David, yep. You chose the gunslinger, which I have to say seems to be a very popular choice among the people I play with.
Well, you can't really beat dualies. Yeah. Being able to dual wield and have a lot of high mobility is a lot of fun.
Yeah. There's so many classes that I feel like I haven't even started on. I think Commando is like my next highest one, but how many is there now? 10?
Yep.
10 classes? Yeah, so, I mean, that's so much game there to play. And then the maps have just continued. Again, when this game first came out, you had one boss, what, maybe four maps? A handful mm-hmm. of maps, and you know the community has been adding maps, and I know you guys take some from the community and work those in the rotation, yep. and so yeah, there's just, it feels like this game is constantly new, and that's one thing I really enjoy about it.
Yeah, you know, including, you know, like different modes, like, you know, objective mode and adding that as well. You know, we're always looking to further evolve the game, mm-hmm. But we don't want to do too much at once, obviously, because we want to, you know, really make sure what's actually being presented and delivered.
Yeah,
the, you know, highest quality. So we get a lot of requests for new modes and new maps and such, and we always take those into consideration. But it's just, you know, it comes it, between time and such to get that all done. It would take a lot to get all of that done at once. So we're just trying to do what we can for what makes the most sense at a given time.
Yeah, keeping strong with the fundamentals we have with our weapons, maps, objectives, and seasonal events is kind of at the core of each of our updates. But we do try to give that new flavor, whether it be like a new feature set or quality of life improvements that have been long requested, trying to just keep the community very engaged and happy with the product.
Yeah, I imagine a big part of your job, other than meetings, it sounds from those bios, it sounds like you guys are just constantly meeting. But it sounds like a big part of your job as well is listening to the community, getting that feedback. Mm-hmm. How do you filter through that? Like, how do you decide what's important, what you're going to focus on?
Well, having a large set of data is probably the most important part of it, and trying to filter the noise from anything that could be really actionable. So part of that, we have analytics that we collect within the game, seeing where, what people are playing, seeing what's the most popular. We really rely hard on our surveys, that present a lot of good data for us, and that can give us a very nice snapshot of 1,000 different respondents that we can get a baseline of where things are feeling, whether it be from balance or what people want to see next or, how things can be improved. But really getting that down to something filterable is important.
You know, we also use our community team as well, and we have sync-ups with them internally as well, just to get the pulse of the community on, you know, what they're liking, what they may not be liking per an update, so on and so forth. And, you know, we take that data as well. And, you know, I'm personally, I go on the forums a lot, and I look at our Twitch KF2 streams, just kind of seeing what people are saying about the game as they're playing. So we have a lot of avenues, and being in touch with the community is really a tripwire staple. We love the interaction with our community, and we are always listening to what they have to say.
Yep.
Since this is a game that's being constantly updated, do you ever get people asking, like, is there going to be a Killing Floor 3? Because sometimes I hear stuff like that. You know, people say it about, like, Left 4 Dead 3, and I'm like, do we need that? I mean, is that really anything new? Do you guys ever get that?
All the time.
Yeah. I mean, when people ask that question, and this is just my opinion, it's like, well, what does that really entail? Like, what, a new engine or something? Because essentially, you guys are making, you're constantly evolving this game. It's always changing. It's always growing. It's, you know, it's always something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about expanding within the framework that we have for Killing Floor 2. So as we kind of look beyond our horizon to see what our new projects will be, we'll be exploring what we couldn't do with one engine versus the current. Mm-hmm. So we can better think about, like, all right, what's the next step of whatever we do post-launch?
Yeah, and Killing Floor 1, I feel like, had a really long life. I feel like I played that game for a very long time, and something about that game that I always remember is it would run on anything. I mean, I remember booting that up on just like the worst laptops, and it would still run. You know, I was really excited when Killing Floor 2 came out, just because it was going to look better, because the original Killing Floor started as a mod, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And let's see, Mike, I wanted to ask you one more thing. I forgot this earlier when we were talking about your bios here. So you guys had listed your favorite games, and Mike, you had a few on there, and one in particular that stood out to me was The Dig from LucasArts. So I'm a big point-and-click guy, too. Like, I like those point-and-click adventures. I have not played this game, and this is one that I've always wanted to go back and play. I think like Spielberg was involved in this one or something. Like, there was something that interested me about it, but sell me on that one. What's so great about The Dig?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting bit about Spielberg is that game, from my understanding, was really meant to translate to a movie as well. I think they were hoping at the time it was going to be much bigger than it actually ultimately was, but that game is, you know, it's just what sold me on that. I had played tons of point and clicks before that game, and I think that just the way the story was told through that game, it didn't come off really corny. There wasn't really too much humor. It really would have translated, I think, to a good movie just based on the space exploration and just the element of unknown in space and such. And it was a really well-done story that I think if I went back to today and played again, that it would still hold up today. So if you're really into story-driven type games at the time, the graphics were pretty cool, too, as well. Mm-hmm. I think you'd be interested in it, and I think that's... I can understand why, you know, it might have translated to the movies just based on the fact that Spielberg was involved. And it kind of seeped through.
Yeah, you know, I got no problem with old games. I love playing old games. I don't care about graphics, and I love those old point and clicks, and I really like how they're bringing a lot of them back with these remasters too. Absolutely. I don't know if The Dig's ever going to get one, but I'll have to go back and play the original.
from those games and the old games, King's Quest and such, that's kind of the bread and butter, really what got me into gaming when I was much younger.
And then, so you started working on MMOs from there. So it seemed like you were really into like the story side and kind of this big expansive world, but now you're working in FPS or first person shooters. How's that change been? Like, do you kind of miss having that?
There are times I do. When we started working on objective mode, we started adding those elements, you know, from whether it be quest light objectives as you progress through the levels, and, you know, with some story tied to it and how that may pick up in a later update. The transition wasn't too difficult because, you know, outside of what my career was focused on with large-scale games, and to this day, I'm still a huge first-person shooter. Going for and Battlefield, those are kind of my go-tos right now. Mm-hmm. So the transition itself was really easy. It was just at a smaller scale of all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And David, so you mentioned Crash Bandicoot 2, so that was your origin story. So it doesn't sound like you guys play a lot of new games, since your favorite ones are
from
the contrary, my wife can attest to this with the money I spend on months each month for games.
Oh, yeah.
David, I'm not sure about you, but I know
I've been cycling through new stuff each month.
Okay. What kind of new games have you guys been playing? Like, what's out currently that you're real excited about?
I wrapped up Fallen Order, Jedi Fallen Order. That was a lot of fun.
Okay.
I played through Outer Worlds. I'm currently playing Forza Horizon 4, so that's a much different experience. So that's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I try to jump around a lot of different genres just to kind of see what is new within everything and get as much experience within different play styles as much as possible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. For me, right now I'm actively playing, Greedfall just picked up. Just completed Death Stranding, and probably one of my favorite games in quite some time. I guess contrary to some reviews, is Days Gone. That game really sold me, and I love the story.
I'm sorry, which game was that?
Days Gone.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that one.
From Gen Studios.
Yeah, it's an open world zombie shooter with. The Ben team who used to work on Siphon Filter, so it's a big departure for them. Really impressive to see what they pulled off.
Definitely recommend you give that one up.
What's the platform of choice for you guys?
PC.
PS4 for me.
Okay, I know you talked about PS4 a lot in your bio. Yeah, you know, I stopped, I had a Dreamcast for a little while, and that was like my last console, so there's pretty big blind spots in my in my view here when it comes to some games.
I still have a Dreamcast in my garage, so I'm right there with you.
I've still got it hooked up to my TV, to be honest.
There were some great games on that system. They were really
solid. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah,
but Skies of Arcadica.
I remember playing Fantasy Star Online on that.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, like back then, you know, when you're young and you don't have any money, it's like you get a console and you're kind of locked in, and there's, you know, I missed out on so many PlayStation games. I didn't play a Resident Evil game until like maybe 10 years ago, and I missed out on quite a bit. But
well, the cool thing is that they're doing most of those remakes now, so you can kind of just play them again with just better graphics and fresh takes.
Yeah, yeah, and those remakes are really, they're knocking it out of the park on those ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. High hopes for the Final Fantasy one this year. But
yeah, that itself, it's almost like, you know, rose tinted glasses. You hope that it can live up to what you remember back when it first came out, but we'll see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's anything as good as the Crash Bandicoot remake, I'll be excited.
So what's next for you guys? Like, are you guys pretty happy where you're at and what you're doing with Killing Floor 2? Do you have any plans, like any other positions in the gaming industry that you guys would like to try out? Because you're being a producer and a product lead, you have kind of a big picture, holistic view, or like a leadership position here. Is there anything else you'd like to do in the gaming industry?
I mean, for me, I'm, you know, like it was mentioned in my bio, is I've gone through tech support, through designer, through environment artist. I've been producer for, you know, many years now, and I really love that track. I love being a part of where I can help kind of, you know, make sure things are getting done and pulling things together. So when it comes to, you know, in the future, I just think somewhere, you know, in the production track is where I'd be happy as well. I mean, there are days that, you know, sometimes when I used to work on building dungeons and such, that I put my headphones on when I come in, and that's me for the whole day, where now it's, you know, there's a lot of meetings and there's a lot of face-to-face with folks, but I do enjoy that. So I think that's what makes me tick, and I'm happy to stay in that route.
Yep, and I think for me, game direction is a really strong focus for me right now, continuing with Killing Floor 2 for the duration of 2020 and what comes beyond. So I'm really interested in seeing things from a top-level perspective within all its components, both from design to the art to the story, the narrative, the technical components, and how you sell it to the market. So being able to have that 50,000-foot view and be able to shift the pieces around to make the best possible game is definitely at the top of my list.
You know, I talk to a lot of people who work on video games, and I always find they have that right mixture of just creativity and that technical acumen, you know, and that's a great mixture. Some beautiful things come from it. But let's just, as we wrap up here, let's talk about Killing Floor 2 2020. What's coming up next?
All right, David, I'm watching.
If you can't talk about anything specific, I get it. But I assume, you know, more weapons, maps, the usual events.
Yep. So 2020, we've got a full slate of seasonal updates with what you can expect in terms of weapons and maps, quality of life improvements, and new features. So we'll be continuing that with our different style for these upcoming seasonal events. We're trying to put a little bit of a twist on some of the seasonal themes that we've seen before that both kind of jives with what was positioned previously, from like Cyberpunk to Christmas to Halloween, but also giving it a little bit of a new flavor as well.
Oh, cool. And also, in one of your recent updates on Steam, I noticed you guys had mentioned Saber Interactive is going to be working with you to create some features and some content as well.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, and it's Saber Interactive. They are the developers from World War Z. We had some people on the podcast play it, and they really liked it, but I feel like that game just didn't get enough attention. You know, in a world where people are hungering for more Left 4 Dead type games, I feel like that one just didn't get the attention it deserved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I personally enjoyed it because I was, you know, looking for that itch. You know, it satisfied me. I enjoyed it. So, you know, I'm not sure. From my understanding, it's doing very well. And, you know, we've already started getting their hands dirty on Killing Floor 2 stuff with the work that's coming from them. So, yeah, they're going to put their little touches on things, the Tripwire, you know, is going to be working with them day in and day out to make sure that, you know, the quality of the product that the fans come to love, you know, retains at that very high level. But we're excited to get there as well.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to it, and I genuinely thank you for talking to me. I know you guys are very busy, and you got lots of stuff to do, and just cutting out a little time to talk to me and allow me to present this to our listeners. I'm very excited to do that, so thank you very much. Great job on the game. I absolutely love it, and good luck in the future.
All right, thanks. It's really appreciated.